today on Real Radio.
From Genesis to Revelation, it's the message of Jesus. It's the message of the one who loves you, who gave his life on the cross for you. That's why we're crazy at Christmas. And if you come here, we're pretty much crazy every day about him. Why? Because it's all about him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's very special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ. For many of us, imagining a Christmas without Jesus Christ is something we can't even fathom. How can we imagine a Christmas without him when it's Jesus who values our lives, loves us beyond our imagination, and who was born to us so he could lay down his life for us? Christmas is the day when God spoke to us about his Son, that Mary would call his name Jesus, and that he would save us from our sins. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Jesus has a wonderful plan for our lives, that's the truth. Regardless of how bad life seems, or how difficult our childhood might have been, or even in the chaos and uncertainty of this past year, we are not defeated. So today, on day two of this special Christmas message, Pastor Jack tells us that imagining a Christmas without Jesus is rejecting the greatest invitation of all. Whether we know it or not, Jesus is who we've been looking for and who we've wanted for Christmas all along. And now continuing in his lesson called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Met someone, by the way, and I love it. Every time you see him encountering someone in the Bible who was sorry for what they had done in life or sorry to God for being mean or proud or hurtful or lustful or envious or selfish or sexually deviant or whatever they've done in life, doesn't matter. But when they were sorry for what they had done, Jesus turned to them. For example, like in Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, "For your sins, which are many, are forgiven you, and your faith has saved you. Go in peace and sin no more." He allows them to start again. Maybe that's you this morning. It's Christmas and all is well and all is great, but the truth is, you know what? You'd love to hear those words from him, that you can start again, and for him to say to you, "You have been forgiven of all the past, and you're free to go now." Why should I imagine a Christmas without him when God's the one who said, "Follow me"? I love it. Follow me. Jesus said in Mark 5:18, and when he got into a boat, he went to him who had been demon-possessed, and that man begged him and said to Jesus that he would like to follow him. And Jesus said, now watch, Jesus didn't say, "Don't follow me." Jesus said in response to his question that Jesus had healed this man of demon possession, Jesus said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." You say, "Jack, I want to follow God." Okay, then go home today and tell people what great compassion God has had on your life. Tell them. You want to remind the people? By your conduct, by your Christian love, by your actions. But the fact is, you're following Jesus Christ. And you do that by telling people, "Hey, Merry Christmas, God loves you. Merry Christmas, listen, Happy Birthday, Jesus." Amen. You know, that's what it's all about. Amen. Follow me, he said. Secondly, he said, be with me. When God's the one who said, be with me, why should I imagine a Christmas without God, without Jesus Christ, when God's the one who said, be with me? Listen, I don't appreciate, was my first feeling of the media, of the community saying, you can't say Christmas, you can't do this, and you can't do the other, and you can't have a nativity, and you can't have this, and you can't have that. You can't have red, and you can't have green. Hey, wait a minute. At first, I was really, I guess the Hebrew word would be ticked off. I was ticked off at that. And then I thought, wait a minute. And then I am so blessed that as this Christmas season's progressed, I am very, as I mentioned on Wednesday, I'm very, very grateful for the fight that we're in. You know what? In this war that we're in, at least when you're in a war, you're awake. Nobody falls asleep when bullets are flying. You can fall asleep when things are too smooth. And I'm very grateful for the time that you and I are in right now, because the truth is that the line's being drawn and people are tiptoeing about. But you know what the truth is? The truth of the matter is that the Lord invites us to be with him And church, when it's all over, as I've told you before, I hope this is not offensive to those of you who are visiting, but you know, we all, you know, when's the world going to come to an end? And what if I die today? And what about, hey, listen, regarding your life and my life, the Bible says our days are numbered. God knows the exact day that you and I are going to go home and see him. It could be by hook or by crook. It could be by accident or by slipping on a banana. It could be by rapture or by rupture. Whatever he determines. But here's the thing. Because that, and I think it was George Whitefield, the great English preacher, who said, we are invincible until God calls us home. And you know, listen, once God calls you home, you're safe. And having said that, regarding your life and mine, it's not over till the fat angel sings. So go for it. We can be bold and we can trust in the Lord and we can rejoice. Church, Christian, at Christmas, don't look around at the stuff. Don't look around at the stuff. As I shared last night in the Three Wise Men concert, I saw a lady yesterday, and God bless her, and I hope she knows the Lord. But right in front of my house, as she made the turn, the car was all wrapped up and she was taking, looked like for a test drive. It was a brand new, red, beautiful red Jaguar. And I thought, man, she's got that for Christmas and she's all so happy and stuff. And you know that car, that she's looking at it right now, by the way. I'm sure right now at this hour, she's probably looking at it and waiting for it to say something to her. You know, and I know, we all know what that's like. So, ooh, look at that. And after about a month, it's got a scratch on it or a bird bombs it. And it's not that big of a deal anymore. It's not that big of a deal. When we can search and look around and wonder, when the true meaning of what it's all about is the fact that Jesus said, I want you to be with me. He said that to the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Merry Christmas, you thief on the cross, you. Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. Nothing in that man's life mattered. And listen, that man, read the Bible, that man was a bad man. Well, you say, well, I'm not a bad man. And I'm glad you're not a bad man. But there's an equal danger to being a good man. A good man can sometimes be further away from the kingdom than a bad man. Because a good man says, I don't need to be with Jesus because I'm so good. I'm fine. I don't need God. And to say that, to believe that, is to say that God made a big mistake in sending his son to the cross. That God made a big mistake for his son to die on the cross. He didn't make a mistake. You and I need him. And he wants you and I to be with him. Third and final point this morning is this. How could I? How could I? Why would I? Why should I? And how could I imagine a Christmas without Jesus? How could I do that? In the great book entitled Fox's Book of Martyrs. Every Christian should read that book. I think it's mandatory reading. It is a historical, accurate account of those who were called upon to deny Jesus Christ or be martyred. And you ought to read it. Because, you know, there's people running around the world right now saying that they're martyrs by blowing themselves up. That's insane. That's insanity. That's suicidal and lunatic type thinking. When these people, nations, or kingdoms came and said, listen, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Do you believe that he loves you? Yes, I do. Do you believe that people can go to heaven straight to him by trusting in Christ? Yes, I do. Then the authorities would say, kill him. That's a martyr. Not some guy that straps on a dynamite around himself. And Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about those who loved Jesus and prayed for those while they were getting the fires ready to burn them. Prayed out loud. God forgive them. They know not what they do. Where'd they get that kind of thinking from? Where'd they get that kind of talk from? Jesus said that. Stephen said that. When you read that book, you find out, you know what? There's something greater to live for than myself. And there's something greater to die for than myself. And it is not violence. It is not some insane message. Because when man's religion gets in the way of God's love for you, and man says, we want to control you. You've got to do it this way, our way, my way, and lead you away from Jesus. Many times that movement or that thing will turn violent on you if you stand in the precious word of God and find out, you know what, how could I ever leave him who loves me so much? a great Christian leader at one of those stakes. They got all the kindling ready and they primed it. And the executioner had his torch in his hand and he said, "Please, sir, deny Jesus Christ and live, for these flames are hot and burning." And that man said, "How can I, how could I deny him? When all my life, he's never denied me. And in my hour of testing now, you want me to deny him? How could I deny him? There's nothing I can do. I have to attest to him. How could I?" And the executioner says, "But old man, these flames are hot." And he said, "Listen, unless you receive Christ, they're not nothing compared to the heat you'll feel." And that man dropped that torch, and that great Christian leader went to heaven. How could I? How could you? We can't. Why is that true? When it's been Jesus that I've needed all along, those of us who are Christians right now at Christmas, we confess to you this morning, please hear us. I'll say it on behalf of your neighbor, your friend, your family member who brought you here. We can't deny him. We have found out, finally, in our lives, it's Jesus. He's the one that we've needed all along. It's Jesus. It's him. Everything in my life has been to get me closer to him. And how could I? Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." How could I imagine a Christmas without him when it's been Jesus that I've been looking for? It's not what I can get out of this world that's going to make me happy in this life. It's not what I can extract. It's not what I can get. Oh man, if I just get this PlayStation, whatever it might be, it's not going to make it. It's not going to do it. It won't work. Thirdly, under this, when it seems to us that people would have us to imagine a Christmas without Jesus, when it's been Jesus that I've wanted for Christmas, and let me put it this way, when we never realized it. It's Jesus, my friend, listen, we're almost done. It's Jesus that you and I have really wanted for Christmas, and we didn't know how to say it. We didn't know how to really express it. We didn't understand it. But everything you and I are looking for in life can be found today, and your Christmas can be a real Christmas because it's all provided by Jesus Christ. That's why, listen, that's why the Bible is written about Jesus. Jesus is not one of the characters in the Bible. The Bible says that in the volume of the book, it is written of him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the message of Jesus. It's the message of the one who loves you, who gave his life on the cross for you. That's why we're crazy at Christmas. And if you come here, we're pretty much crazy every day about him. Why? Because it's all about him. And listen, you need not fear. "Man, you radical Christians freak me out." Listen, don't worry. We can live next door to you. We're not going to burn your house. We're not going to cut your head off. We're going to pray for you. When your family's sick, we're going to bring you soup. Why? Because you know what? We have found him who satisfies our lives. And when we read this book from cover to cover that says God loves you, that Jesus loved us so much he went to the cross for us, and that he has a plan for our lives, that's the message of the Bible. What's wrong with that? It's a great thing. Jesus is what I've really wanted for Christmas all my life, and I didn't know it. So for those of you who are ready and hoping and praying that you'll get the Benford 4000 vacuum or whatever, it's going to break. I tell you, this has been a wild week at our house. Man, the water heater busted on, I forget what day, Wednesday I think it was, and the vacuum broke on Thursday. And the house almost burned down last night. Unbelievable. You know what? What would happen if your water heater broke and your vacuum died and your house burned down? What would you have? You'd have everything if you have Jesus. Amen. Okay, just remember that. And have you been to Best Buy? Went to Best Buy the other day. Walked in there and you could barely get in the store because they had all these plasma screens set up. They got them super stocked. Plasma screen, let me see, I wrote it down. Flat screen, plasma, high definition satellite system. Big ones. You walk in there, man, what is this? Oh. Sheesh. I thought someone made a big mistake in the ordering department. Someone's going to get fired for overbooking these things. The guy said, "We can't even keep these things in the store." It's the big deal. You say, Jack, that's what I want. Say it louder. My wife needs to get that today. And I understand that. But what happens if you get it? You need to spend a bunch of time in front of that thing. House is going to go to pot. Paint's going to peel off your house. Your yard's going to look horrible. You sit in front of that thing. You got your big screen. It'll ruin your life. May not be good for you. Very few people can handle a big screen TV. Takes discipline. We have a hard time with the message of Jesus, I think. If we remove him out of the whole message, we have a hard time with it. Friday night, I was driving through the city, Anaheim Hills area. They had banners up. And I'm grateful for the banners, but I'm all primed up. I'm ready for this war on Christmas. And the banner said, as I drove, joy. Next banner said, peace. All the joy, peace, and then the final one, love. Anaheim put that up there. You know, Mickey Mouse owns that city. And they got the money to put those beautiful signs up there. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. And I thought to myself as I was driving, when's the last time I heard those words? It wasn't from the ACLU, I guarantee you that. When's the last time I heard those words? It wasn't on CNN. When's the last time I heard those words? When I was reading my Bible. Isn't it interesting that a city had enough brains to put up the meaning of Christmas without even knowing it, maybe? Love, peace, joy. That's the message Jesus brings at Christmas. That is the Christmas story. You have love, you have peace, you have joy. You need to think about that. Because the world would say, love, love one another, love. Then, what do you mean by that? It's a different meaning compared to what God says about it. Peace? You can get that big screen TV. You're not going to have peace, especially when the bill comes. You won't have peace. Joy, out the window. Next time the interest rates go up, out the window. See, the meaning of Christmas, we end with this. It will be a Merry Christmas for you, my friend, tomorrow. If you understand something, that the Bible announces to us, for example, when the wise men came and presented gifts to Jesus, do you remember our first week together in this series that they brought him three gifts? You all know them. I mean, if you've ever listened to Perry Como or Andy Williams, you know those gifts. Number one is gold. They brought him gold. And according to the Oriental custom in the Middle East, at that time, kings were given gold as gifts in honor of their kingship, their authority, and their character. The wise men brought to King Jesus, for they came to worship him who was born King of the Jews. They brought him gold. Their gift, my friend, matched their confession. The wise men brought him gold. They understood him to be king. They brought him also, number two, frankincense. Frankincense was a symbol of his divine priesthood, his ministry, one that would be marked by salvation and intercession for us. Their gift to Jesus matched their confession. Jesus Christ was their priest, not only their king. And then what did they bring him? Myrrh. What a bizarre gift. Listen, I could understand getting gold. In fact, bring it on. Frankincense, it was very expensive, frankincense. And wonderful. But myrrh? I have some myrrh in my office, by the way. It looks like a funny-looking rock until you smash it with a hammer. And when you smash it, it's resin from a tree. When you smash it, it releases this great aroma. They brought Jesus myrrh. Why was myrrh important? Because they would take it, smash it, pulverize it, beat it up until they turned it into back to how it was formed in the first place, a resin type, an oily type of mixture, and it would release this wonderful perfume. Myrrh was embalming perfume of the day. Why in the world would you bring to a baby embalming fluid? Because those wise men knew he's our king and our confession matches the gift we give him. He's our priest, so we bring him frankincense because our confession matches what we believe and what we bring him. And we bring him myrrh. We recognize from the prophecies of the Bible that he will die for us. He will die for us. But isn't it great? 3 days later, he rose also from the dead for us. Will it be a Merry Christmas for you? I wish I had power over that, because if I had the choice, it would be a Merry Christmas for you. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. And maybe right now, as we do, today will be your first Christmas ever, truly. Father, we pray and Father, we ask of you in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, as we stand on the edge, Lord God, of the close of a year and a new year awaits us. We thank you, God. We don't know what holds or what the new year holds, but we are so grateful that you hold the year in your hand. We don't need to freak out. But Father, as we stand here or as we sit here this morning, as we pray, how appropriate that we happen to celebrate Christmas at the end of a year. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to every heart in here this morning that does not yet know you. Maybe they think they do. They're not sure. Maybe they wonder. Maybe they worry. Maybe they're hoping that they are okay with you. God, bottom line, speak to them. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, my friend, in a moment I'm going to ask you to vote for Jesus Christ, to cast your vote. There'll be no hanging chads or dimpled ballots or whatever. It will be hand up or hand down. Every one of us in this room will cast our vote this Christmas. It'd be certain. But if you believe today that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, that he is the Christmas Jesus, that you want him to forgive you of your sins, to make him your king, your priest, your savior. If you would say today, that's it, Jack, I want to settle this between myself and God forever now, then my friend, today you're on the brink of the greatest day of your life forevermore. Heads bowed, nobody's looking around. I'll just look. If today you're saying yes to Jesus, the Bible calls that to be born again. You are accepting him. It means to be born from heaven above. You were born once from here, earth beneath. Jesus said you must be born from above to enter the kingdom of heaven. If that happens to you today, it will be the most merriest of Christmas that you could ever have. Is that your vote this morning? If you're coming to Christ today, just raise your hand. If there's a little turmoil going on inside, trust me, raise your hand. That's him stirring it up. God bless you. And you raise your hand high so I can see. God bless you on the aisle. God bless you guys right here. Awesome. Anyone else? Oh my goodness, everywhere. God bless you and you in the back and the way in the back on the aisle. These two on the aisle here, young lady right here. In the very, very, very back, also in the back, if any of you, a cluster of hands in the back, looks like a family, anyone else where you know inside, you're hearing in your heart, man, I need to do this. If you're hearing that impulse, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. It sounds like your voice, but you're arguing with yourself. Isn't that cool? He's using your voice, and he's saying, do this now. Anyone else? God bless you. Put your hands down. Church, together, those of you who are Christians, encourage them by praying. Help them out. Those of you who have raised your hands, pray this. And you know what? Let's let angels hear it. Usually we kind of whisper it. Let's just blow their ears off. Repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I proclaim you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. And having been risen from the dead, I give you my life. Happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special Christmas message called Imagine a Christmas Without Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here today, and Merry Christmas to you from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. You know, our prayer for you this Christmas is that your 2021 is filled with contentment and joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus came so that we can have life, and he died on the cross to free us from all of our guilt and shame. Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas. And it's given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you this past year. Thank you for welcoming us into your home and into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.